New Year's resolutions. Jonathan Edwards once wrote, Resolution 1, I will live for God. Resolution 2, if no one else does, I will. It's pretty good. An optimist stays up all night until midnight at least to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. That's a deep truth considering the unusual nature of 2020, but we must not consider all the negative context. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the little things that I once took for granted because of what has transpired in 2020. I appreciate things like how to greet someone and trying to figure it out. It's pretty awkward. How do you say goodbye? You know, it's just, you know, you can't, you used to just go up and go, you know, handshake. Now it's like this. You know, you're trying to, somebody's got to take the lead. I think what we got to do is say that the shorter one takes the lead. How about that, ladies? The shorter one takes the lead. So, okay, in this church, we're going to say the shorter one takes the lead. So if it's like this, or, you know, a high five, or fist bump, or even a handshake. I've started shaking hands every now and then. I mean, look, I'm going to wash them. I'm going to, you know, go find some cleanser. It is what it is. I miss not being so concerned about social distancing. You know, now it's like you walk in. I remember when this kicked off, I was over at Sam's and I told you I had a mask on, but it said Trump. And I just did it as a social experiment. And I got up there to the line and I'm not even paying attention how close I am to the person in front of me. And the checkout person, hey, we social distance 6 feet around here. Man. I just wanted to say something. I didn't. I just bit my tongue like I normally do. I want to say, I am a customer in this store, but I didn't. I miss visitors almost every week in church. It's probably one of the greatest things I miss. We used to have visitors all the time. Now you just, you know, people don't know. I got to get the signs back out there. I took them down when we had the gale force winds. It actually breaks the metal. They go back so many times that it just breaks it off eventually. But I have plenty of them, so I'll try to get those back out there. They're in the car. I need to get them back out. Philippians chapter 3. Let's see what the Bible says in verse 13. The Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God, says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing." Just one thing. What's the one thing? "I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, perfected, complete." It doesn't mean that you're sinless, like some people teach. "As many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample." There's a difference between an example and an ensample. We won't go into that. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Seems like always Paul was getting around to that rapture. What are you looking for? If there's anything that comes before the Savior, you can't say you're looking for the Savior. If the mark of the beast, and it's not the vaccine, it's not the vaccine. Can it be a precursor? Yes. Can they track you with it? Maybe. But they're tracking you with a phone. They're tracking you with satellites. You ought to go in some of these countries, and we may get there eventually to find out who's buying the big turkeys at Publix. You know, they got the cameras everywhere, you know. They're going to have them over the turkey thing, and if you get it, they're going to facial recognition you, and that, I'm just kidding. Look at verse 21. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby even he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." He's going to change our vile body. You see, some people make New Year's resolutions. I don't, simply because I never really made a practice of it. If you did, that's fine. But, you know, think about it. You know, we're going to look at maybe some New Year's resolutions. God gives us some things to think about for a new year. The verses we just read. I do this one thing, he says. What's the one thing in verse 13? It's a phrase, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. If those things that are behind you cause you destruction or cause you consternation or cause you to fail in the future, forget those things. Forget them. You can't forget the past without reaching forth to those things in front of you in the future. When you get rid of something, you should always replace it with something else. Otherwise, you leave a void. And the void will be filled. The question is, will the void be filled with what God wants because you have planned it out, you've thought it out, and you've put it in God's hands? Or are you going to have that void filled, you know, with something that the devil wants in your life? You need to fill the void and make sure that you don't just let it go. But you need to forget the bad. The failures, the hurts, the sin, confess it, forsake it, move on. The disappointments. A lot of people dwell on disappointments. Oh man, I am so upset with, and just fill in the blank. Oh, I can't get over what so-and-so said back on July 6th when we all got together for the 4th. 6 months later? Really? Boy, that's, you've got to look at things and you've got to move on from them and you've got to forget them. Husband and wife have a fight. What happens? Boy, they, you know, I'll tell you this, what we do. We kiss before we go to sleep every night. I've told you one or two times we didn't because probably I was mad, she was mad, we're both mad. Man, you have a terrible night's sleep. Judy's like, what? So we kiss every night. It is hard to kiss somebody that you're having a brawl with. It is. Hey, honey, yeah, right, I'll give you a fat lip, buddy. You know? But listen, if you make that your policy and your standard, then what'll happen is you'll know you got to kiss goodnight and one will say, I'm sorry. By the way, you don't always have to be the one that is in the right to say, or in the wrong to say you're sorry. Goes a long way. If my wife says, I'm sorry, and, you know, I mean, she's wrong, you know, and she says she's sorry. Actually, she'll say she's sorry and I'm wrong. Man, it's not, you get under conviction. You're like, oh, man, I was much more at fault than she was. I'm sorry too. And then you'd be surprised and shocked how well that helps a marriage. Some of you have been married a long time, you know. I'm telling you, I've been married half as much as some of you, and I understand. You know, you ought to let go of the bad decisions you made. Let them go. Say, well, I shouldn't have bought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And all you do is dwell on all that stuff. Let it go. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forget those things if they're detrimental in your life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many of you are smoking hot right now? You're afraid to raise your hand. I'm smoking hot. Is it hot in here? Okay, I'm not going to touch it because I'm warm and it's the new year. So I'm going to let you have one day of me being smoking hot. What a way to phrase that. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, know we him no more. What? We don't know him anymore. Well, look at the context. Oh, wait, you look, henceforth we know him no more. And people stop right there. What's the context? The context is after the flesh. You are to know him in a spiritual sense. These are people that walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, you know, fed others with it. I mean, they did a lot of things in the flesh, but he's saying, look, we are not to know Christ after the flesh. We're to know him in a spiritual sense. And by the way, that is the only way to know him right now. Next verse. Therefore, because of verse 16, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2021, all things are become new. I am not going to promise you that 2021 is going to be drastically different from 2020 in a positive sense. Can't do it. Can't do it. But it will be what you make it, regardless of what it is in general. Whatever you make the year will be what the year becomes. If you dwell on 2020 and you go, oh man, we were locked down, you realize we're living in a state we're not locked down. It's funny, we're not locked down, and I hear music. We're not locked down, and it's weird music, and it's getting louder. But California is. Now, just for a minute, think of California locked down by the governor and think of Florida not locked down. There's something wrong, and I don't know what to tell you. All I'm telling you is you better get close to God so you know individually what to do. That's it. You watch the news, you're going to be as crazy as a rabbit in a yo-yo. Or a mouse in a yo-yo. I guess a rabbit can't really get on that yo-yo well. Termite in a yo-yo. Hey, you're going to just not know what to do. The only one that can tell you and lead you what to do is God. I cannot tell you with infallibility what to do. Can't do it. Can't do it. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. You're a new creature. A new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Remember when you first got saved, you really could sort of envision that. Wow, you know, man, it sounded like the birds were chirping, you know, better, and the sky was brighter and bluer, and the grass was greener, and man, everything was just shiny and bright. That's the way it ought to be every day of your life as a Christian. Behold, all things have become new. When the newness wears off, get out the silver cleaner and get that thing shined up again. Get your life shined up. Get your relationship with Jesus Christ shiny again. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that it's something that just renews itself. It doesn't. I've told you over and over again, it's a renewal every morning. You don't get to build up this prayer deposit the next day when you wake up. If you aren't praying, you haven't prayed. Well, I prayed for an hour yesterday. Just saying that. You say, well, I prayed for an hour yesterday. I'm good today. I was just going to do 30 minutes. I did an hour. That counts for 30 minutes today. It doesn't count. Can't do it. I'm trying to tell you, don't do it. I'm trying to warn you, it doesn't work that way over and over and over again until you say, well, he sounds like a broken record, whatever that is to the young people. I don't even guess it does that anymore. Oh, when you put it on a loop. Sounds like I'm on a loop. That's what it would be. But look at verse 18. And he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, these new creatures in Christ Jesus, where everything's become new. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. You know, I told you, you need to forget those things that are behind the bad stuff, forget the bad, but sometimes you need to leave some of the blessings and achievements behind too. Just like I was talking about prayer. You say, well, boy, I prayed last year in 2020. I got enough built up for 2021. Doesn't work that way. Start afresh every day with a clean slate and never rest on your laurels. Say, well, I read my Bible through twice last year. I don't have to read through it this year. And listen, not everybody reads through their Bible. I do it more at times and less at times. Just do it and do as much as God wants you to do. Oh, well, He wants me to read 24 hours a day. I don't think so. See how ridiculous? Oh, well, He wants me to read all the time. What an ambassador you would be if all you did was read your Bible. You see, any good thing can be taken to an extreme and become detrimental in your walk with Christ. He doesn't want monks. He never called a monk to be a monk and hibernate. Not a bunch of bears. Christianity is just the opposite. He wants you out as much as you can with social distancing. He wants you to get out there. Talk to others as much as you can. How about souls led to Christ or commitments achieved? Don't rest on your laurels. This place looks beautiful today. But in 6 months, 3 months, whatever, spring, you know, it'll be changed again. Why? Because that's the way it works. You don't just leave it that way all the time. I look at it and I go, man, we just leave it like this forever. Thankfully, men and women are not the same. Ask my wife. I go out of town and she rearranges the whole bedroom. I never understood, we had a waterbed, and I never understood how she would move that thing. Ask her and she'll tell you. Yeah, she gets on the floor and uses her legs and she moves it. And I come home and I go, how in the world? And then I go, why in the world? Because I'm a man. We men and women don't think alike, and that is not a bad thing. By the way, if we did think alike, can you imagine how boring life would be? It would be boring. A story is told about a high school principal who decided to post everyone's New Year's resolutions on the board. So he posted them on the board, and all the teachers were around, and all of a sudden a commotion started. One of the ladies did not have hers posted up there, and she was pitching a fit. Principal scurried off to his office and went in there and said, man, did I forget? Oh, there it is. There is her New Year's resolution. And you know what her New Year's resolution was? Not to let little things upset her anymore. That's how good your New Year's resolutions can be. Maybe that's why I don't make them. I don't like failing on the first day of the year. I like to wait until later on in the week. A son called his parents to wish him Happy New Year, and his dad answered the phone. He asked his dad, he said, well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution? He says, I am going to try to make your mother as happy as I can all year long. That's a good resolution. He gets Mom on the phone and says, Mom, what's your New Year's resolution? To see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution. I don't usually tell these things, but it is New Year's, a special occasion. You know, it's the first year of 2021, and you know, right now we're smiling and happy, and I'm not guaranteeing you it's going to be an easy year. It may just be the opposite. 2020 had its bumps and bruises, and 2021 might be ditches and culverts. Hopefully not just speed bumps. Maybe just speed bumps. Anybody ever read Calvin and Hobbes? I've seen it. I never was much for reading them. But there was one in there where about resolutions. And he said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die. You say, you ought to tell jokes more. No, it's a lot of work to find these things. So please, please be gracious with me. Hey, the other thing we need to do is press toward the mark. When I read verse 14 in Philippians chapter 3, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eye on the finish line. Keep your eye on the finish line. If you're a runner and you look down, that's all you do, you won't know when to kick it into another gear, or are you going to run out of steam before you know. In other words, a runner, and I'm not a runner, you got to, not a racer, you got to think these things through. No matter what you are, the end of your race is closer than it was yesterday. Think about it. Today you are closer to the end of your life than what you were yesterday. Ultimately, we need to be looking for the upward calling of God, the rapture, and not allow anything or anybody to distract us from that. I have told you time and time again, the reason why the teaching on the rapture is so important is because if you're looking for Jesus every day, it will change how you interact with people, how you behave, the things you do. If you thought Jesus was coming today, you'd do some things different. If you thought He was coming by the end of January, and guaranteed, He says, He told you... I was born on January 31st, so this just came to mind. Not that I'm plugging my birthday. I don't care. If He told you He was coming on my birthday, man, all you'd celebrate. No, just kidding. I was going to say the end of January. And He said, look, January 31st, I'm coming back. What do you think your month of January would be like? It'd be different. I wouldn't spend time over at that house. In fact, if I knew January 31st, I'd stop construction. But the point is, you don't know. That's why looking for Jesus to come back is so important, because you don't know. I thought He was coming back in 1988 when I was a senior in my Bible college. He was coming back. I need to get to the mission field. I wanted to quit Bible college, go to the mission field. You need to live as though He's coming back today, and plan as though you're going to be here, grow old and gray and bald, or whatever your lot in life is, fat and happy, whatever it's going to be. And you got to think, look, He may not come in my lifetime, because I thought He was already going to be here. But I haven't lived in such a way that I sold out the future for the present. If I did, I'd have run all my credit cards up. You know, there are people that did that. Remember all these people that were prognosticating that He was coming back on a certain date? They sold houses. What was his name? Oh, Y2K is another one. But the guy that had the billboards. What? No, cash doesn't ring a bell. But there was no, the billboards on the end of the world. Yeah, the end of the world. He had him up there, and he said, it's going to end on this day, and that's it. And there are people that just sold everything. Listen, you don't know when He's coming back, but you need to be looking for Him every day. If you look for Him every day in 2021, 2021 will be a success. I will guarantee that if you look for Him every day in 2021, 2021 will be the best year you ever had. I promise. 1 Corinthians 9, look there. Look there. So again, I want to reiterate the point that I just made. You need to live as though He's coming back today and plan as though you're going to live for a long time. That's why it's okay to have a savings account. That's why it's okay to have a 401k. That's why it's okay to plan for retirement. Some of you are retired. If you'd have just said, oh, Jesus, come back, I'm not going to ever retire. I'm never going to, be here that long. And listen, I got to tell you, I see it on the horizon more today than I did last year. But it's on the horizon. And I don't know how far that horizon is off. We may have to go through 10 years more on this earth. And they may get progressively worse. Or we may all say, the end's coming, the end's coming, it's the end. Look at the election, look who won, look who's going to take office, look at what he's going to do. And 2 years from now, there's another election, and all of a sudden it goes, shoo. I don't know. You don't know. All I know is this, there are many fools that stood in the pulpit and said, the sky is falling, and the next day the sun came up. I don't want to be one of them. I am not going to tell you that somehow I got all the answers. Just listen to me. Sell everything you've got and give it to the church. You know, there are people that have done that. The guy that I'm thinking of did that. He got people to invest in his billboards. Millions of dollars. What is his name? I cannot think. Camp. You said it was Camp was his name. Anybody know? Hey, Google that. You're up there. You can.
We don't listen to that mess.
We don't listen to that mess. Oh, it was pretty well known. But he said, hey, the end of the world's coming. And people gave him millions of dollars, put all those billboards up. You know, it's like 2012. I think there was a movie. You know, 2012, my daughter would say, boy, I wonder if that was embarrassing, you know, the day after the new year. You know, she'd say, I wonder how they feel about that. Because, you know, it didn't all freeze over in 2012. I think that was what the movie was about. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I run in a race. I run in a race. How are you doing in your race? Are you running the race that God has set before you? You might say, well, no, I got a cane now. I can't run too well. Well, you can. The good thing about Christianity is we can all run. You can all run. You all have a race. We all have a race. Find out what it is God wants you to do and get busy doing that. Back in Philippians 3, one of the, you know, verse 14, we read that first. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Make sure you do that. Verse 16 said, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In that verse, that passage I first read in verse 16, it says, let us walk, let us mind. We need each other. One of the things about 2021 is I need you more in 2021. We need each other more in 2021. We need to walk by the same rule. We need to be in agreement. We need to have unity around the truth. We need to be unified. And that doesn't mean that you throw in the towel and say, well, truth doesn't matter. I already said, we need to be unified and have unity around the truth. Unity in the Bible is not, let's just forget all doctrine and forget all beliefs. Unity is we are together with the truth being the ultimate guide. We need to walk close to God. Never procrastinate because there's so much to do. I talked to a couple of people this morning and I don't want to put, you know, people need to talk and it's Sunday morning before church. You know, sometimes you look at a pastor and say, well, I can't talk to him. He's got to be focused on this and I'll get him out. Listen, right now, I'm 61, I can do it. I get 65, 66, 67. Probably better leave me alone before the service when I get up there. I'm not saying for sure, but I'm just telling you, at some point I'll probably look at you going, I probably need to focus on preaching. Because, you know, my mind is not what it was 20 years ago. At some point, I may not be able to do that, but I don't want to put people off. I don't want to say you need to wait until it's a convenient time for me. Now, I will tell you, it may happen one day if our numbers grow and the pressure gets on me more so, then yeah, I may have to do that. I may not be able to, you know, answer every text immediately or take every call immediately. And sometimes I can. If I'm in a meeting, I just have to let it ring through. But it says us twice. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I think this is a fabulous book, verse, Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, if we could just live that one verse out, or those two verses out, life would be so amazing. Look at what he says, so walk ye in Him. As ye have received Christ, so walk ye in Him. By grace, through faith. That's what it's all about. Look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Sort of jumping in the middle of this thought, but it starts in verse 9, or it's in the middle of it. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You are called with an holy calling. You are to have purpose and grace. And it's according to His own purpose and grace. I was even at the funeral. I said, listen, this funeral's not about you. Yeah, we're there to remember Nina one last time together in a concerted effort focused on memorializing her life, her homegoing, her graduation. It's not about the preacher. It's not about anybody in the pew. It's all about her, her relationship with her Savior. And then what you do is you say, well, you know what she would want to talk about? Yeah, you can talk about her, but she'd want you talking about her Lord. I know, listen, if I die before y'all, focus on Jesus Christ. Tell about Him and what He did in my life. The fact that here I am, I get saved in 1980, and it's a crossroads in my life. I come here to this church, and it's 1980, the end of it, and it's a crossroads in my life. I get right with God in 1984 after not serving Him. It's a crossroads. Everything about me is defined by events that have to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. My 13th birthday did not define me, except in a bad way, probably. You know, my 18th birthday didn't define me, except maybe in a bad way to some degree. But my relationship with Jesus Christ and all of those times that I just mentioned, those three in particular, defined me. My marriage didn't define me, although it did some good things, not like when I was 13 or 18 and all that other stuff. But what defined me was the fact that she had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the two of us coming together in unity made a stronger bond for the service of the Lord. That's what it does. But life's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. You know, you need to glorify God by living godly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very famous verse in verse 31. Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We're going to go have a fellowship over in the Hall of Faith. Do it to the glory of God. That means you can't eat all the watermelon. You can't eat all the watermelon, Al. There's no watermelon over there, but I remember Al, he's like, man, this watermelon's good, and it was good. And then he's like, oh, I don't feel well tonight. Hey, we got chicken. I think we got some other meat. What was that other meat you said? Pork loin. Pork loin. Man, we're meat eaters here. That's one thing for sure. We're carnivores. You know, the Bible says if you can give thanks, you ought to eat it. That's what He says. It's what the Bible says. If you can give thanks, eat it. You say, well, you're not allowed to eat shrimp because it's under the law. We're not under the law. Thank the Lord, because I don't know what I would do. Amen, Judy? Hey, I knew one thing. I could get an amen out of Judy on shrimp. We'd eat shrimp every day if we could. And bacon? Can't do it under the law. But you can if you can give thanks for it. And you know what? There are two things I just mentioned I can give thanks for. And pork loin, I can give thanks for that too. Fried chicken, I'm a Baptist. I can give thanks for that too. Let us mind the same thing. Now remember in Philippians 3, I'm going to take you to verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us, remember I told you, said us twice, mind the same thing. This church, every one of us ought to be going in the same direction. That's the way it is. And it's not just my direction. I talk to people all the time in the church. I try not to make unilateral decisions. You know, but somebody has to make a decision. And I'm not always right in the decision that I make. I want you to know that. Let me confess that in 2021. I am, just because I make a decision does not make it right. And just because I make a decision doesn't make it the will of God. Think about that. Again, you know, you come up to me and you go, well, I guess it was the will of God. You know, you can't do that. You cannot assume that God's will is always done. Or listen, we're just going to be able to blame God for everything every decision we made up in heaven. We ought to be following the Lord. We ought to be honoring the Great Commission. We ought to live by the higher calling in Philippians 3 in verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Savior. What do you be looking for? The vaccine? The mark? The Antichrist? Looking for the Savior. If you see how many times, and I have it written, I wrote about it, you look for the Savior. You look for the Savior. We're waiting, watching, and working. We're waiting for Him. We're watching for Him. We're working for Him while we're waiting and watching. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not in this world. Our conversation means your lifestyle. So in closing, I want you to turn to Philippians 4. I read you Philippians 3 at the beginning. I think it's 13 through 20 or something like that. 13 through 21. And then the next verse is Philippians 4, 1. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand your ground, stand for the Lord, stand strong. Let this year be a year when nothing moves you away from God. Nothing. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My labor is not in vain. I could be a successful businessman. I have been in the past. But you know what? I wouldn't want that for everything in the world because my calling is what I'm doing here. My calling is unique to me as is your calling, and my race is unique to me as is your race. One last passage. Look at Hebrews 12. So I'm going to tell you, don't waver to the right, don't waver to the left, stay focused. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you stay focused on what Jesus did for you, Everything will be all right. You get discouraged? Focus on what He did. You get defeated? Focus on what He did. You get pessimistic about life and about the world, about what's going on? Realize that God's still in control. God allows certain things to happen. Maybe what this country and the world needed was a wake-up call. I'm going to tell you this. If all of this results in people deciding whether they're going to serve God or not serve Him, it's the best thing ever could have happened. We have not lost people that have given up on God during 2020, during COVID. We've lost some people that have moved away. We've got some that still aren't able to attend because they choose that that's best for them. But we haven't lost a bunch of people that have given up on God and said, life's too unfair, I quit. No, stay focused on Him. And if you do that, you won't be wearied and you won't faint. Do not be wearied. Do not faint. Do not give up. Let us commit together to do these three things. Confess and forget your sin and failures. To walk closer with the Lord individually and collectively. And to keep on the right track with the Lord as we run our race. Let's do that together. Collectively and individually. You know, we don't run this race really together. It's not a... you're not passing the baton. You are running the race alone. But yet we're all running, so we can all be beside each other as we run. But your race is not my race. My race isn't your race. So run your race the way that God wants you to run it. Let's all stand together. Lord, we are truly thankful of what You have given us in Christ Jesus. Help us to stay focused on Thee. Help us to never be weary. Help us not to faint, to give up, to quit. Help us, Lord, because we need Thy strength to be able to do the things that You've asked us to do. We love You and praise You and give You all the glory for this year coming up. We don't make New Year's resolutions necessarily or commitments in such a way, but we should endeavor to run our race to glorify Thee, and all that we do should be to Thy glory and Thy honor. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Go ahead and play some music for a moment, if you don't mind. Just endeavor to do what God has called you to do, whatever it may be. He loves you. He wants nothing but the best for you.